So you're running out of closet space. But the good news is you don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, only for the month of January, you can earn up to $550 extra when you sell. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and earn up to $550 extra to keep shopping. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
This podcast is supported by the organic mattress and bedding brand Avocado Green Mattress. At Avocado, we understand the value of sleep, but not just any sleep. Deep, restful, restorative sleep. That's why we created the Avocado Eco-Organic Mattress. Certified organic, handcrafted, and built for lasting, restorative sleep. Made with natural materials for cooler, more breathable comfort. So you wake up ready to tackle whatever your day brings. And with our 100-night sleep trial, you can rest even easier knowing that your comfort is our priority. Everyone deserves better sleep. So at Avocado, we make comfort more affordable. Our eco-organic mattress is the most affordable GOTT-certified organic mattress in America, made easier on your budget with flexible financing options. And now you can get up to 15% off all Avocado mattresses. Just go to avocadogreenmattress.com. Get up to 15% off at avocadogreenmattress.com. avocadogreenmattress.com.
Anyone who has struggled with skin knows that it goes so beyond being skin deep.
Just because I still struggle with my skin doesn't mean I know skincare, but I always say skincare is just like a supplement for your skin. It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. And today I have a very special guest. Please welcome the co-founder of Common Clouds, Maria Algren. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Lavi, and thank you so much for pronouncing my name right.
Of course. I'm really excited to have you on. I think you're my first like European founder that I've had on the podcast, which is super exciting.
Is that so? Oh my God, that's such an honor.
Yeah. And to anyone who is new to this episode and all, you're the co-founder of Common Clouds, which is actually Scandinavia's first acne positive skincare brand. Am I right?
Yes, you're super right. Yeah. So we are based in Stockholm, Sweden. So it's almost already getting a little bit dark outside.
Yes. Yes. I did visit Stockholm back in like end of March. I loved it. It was so beautiful.
Oh wow. Next time you have to come by the office and
I would love that. Yeah, I think I like got introduced to the brand like right after I left, like after I went back to Vienna because I was studying abroad there for a while. And then I started I was there for a year and now I'm back in Canada.
Yeah, because I was gonna ask how you first heard about Common Clouds.
Yeah. I think I posted like content that I was in Sweden and then the brand reached out.
Oh, that's true, because Dahlia, who is our marketing coordinator, she was like, oh my God, this amazing creator, she wants to, you know, receive some PR from us. And
I remember like getting the box and I loved it right away. First of all, like the real imaging, showing real skin, you know, unfiltered, all of that. And then the products, I just thought they were so well crafted and geared towards acne prone skin, which we'll get into all of that. But I really want to dive in by starting off by asking, you know, I know more about like the beauty standard here in like North America and stuff. But how does that kind of differ in Scandinavia or even Europe as a whole, maybe compared to North America? Have you seen, you know, any big differences there, maybe regarding skin in general?
Yeah, I think especially Sweden, but also all of Scandinavia, it's a very, very small market. So I think it's maybe not as culturally diverse as I imagine it is in North America. And with that, I also mean like with, subcultures and so on. It's very homogenous.
Right.
Especially I think in Sweden and in Stockholm in particular, there's more or less one ideal. I don't know, like on TikTok at the moment, I think people are talking about, I think they call it Scandi makeup or so. Here in Stockholm, we have something called Stockholmsstilen or Stockholm style, which is basically like a fashion and beauty ideal that most young girls, they want to look up to. But I think in terms of beauty standards, it's quite narrow in a way, and we have really like grown up with this almost idolizing natural beauty. The whole like I woke up like this, there's not this heavy tradition of using a lot of makeup or cover up, and so there's I think which adds like an extra expectation on skin to be in a certain way. Like I know when I grew up, we will get into that later. I have had adult acne myself, but in particular, I have had a lot of redness and rosacea. And growing up, I wasn't really comfortable with, not wearing makeup in the summer because I wanted to cover up the redness. And, like family members, friends were questioning it, like, why are you wearing makeup to the beach and so on. So there's like this, I don't know, I think there's this, celebration of natural beauty, but that's which makes it even harder in a way. And yeah, but
Totally.
I think like we don't have really the this subcultures. It's very homogenous, like, and the clean girl aesthetic is very much
More popular. That's so interesting. Like, obviously, the clean girl look has, become popular over here too, but I think still the beauty standard, which a lot of girls try to like hold themselves to over here, is more of that like full glam, look. So that's so interesting. And I think it does add a bit of that extra pressure, as you said, if you're going for more of the natural aesthetic, because like then is it, are you, you wake up and you're like, okay, I should be giving off that, like, I just woke up like this natural look. But then if you don't feel comfortable in that, it can definitely make that harder. That's really interesting. So getting into Common Clouds a bit, obviously it's a, skin positive brand. What was kind of the inspiration there and the message behind Common Clouds? I think the explanation is absolutely beautiful, but I definitely want you to like explain it from your words as the founder on like how that all started. This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, 9to5 Skin, which also happens to be my beauty brand. And let me tell you, one of the biggest misconceptions about acne is that it is a hygiene issue. And you'd think when 80% of the world struggles with it, this would be more talked about. But the issue is the beauty industry has trained our minds into frantically buying every single product we see online with these crazy, unrealistic before and afters that tell you this one product will completely clear your skin. And not only that, it's going to take away every pore, every scar, and transform your skin in a matter of a few weeks. I don't use skincare like that. I was sick of seeing real skin not being represented, and I was like, you know what? Let me just do it myself. This is 9to5 Skin, where we only show real skin, real results, because skincare at the end of the day is a supplement. It should be helping your skin along the process, no matter where your skin's at in the journey. I struggle with hormonal acne, and these are products that just help me in my day to day, make me feel good in my skin. And before you say anything, this is not just another influencer founded brand. My name is Lavinia, and I'm a fully 100% self funded brand. We're doing things a little bit differently over here, non-traditional, and bringing a little bit of my engineered solution to skincare, like Spray Away. It's our best calming yet hydrating mist. I wanted to pull together my experience as a content creator for the past 10 years, where I've tested out hundreds, if not thousands, of products with my background in chemical engineering and business to create a brand that doesn't make you feel like something immediately needs to be fixed. I wanted 9to5 to be that brand. When you pick up the products, you instantly feel more confident in your skin, because hating your skin into healing is not possible. We need to focus on skincare that promotes progress over perfection. Of course, we're keeping our products affordable and accessible. And from one acne prone girly to another, remember to tell yourself something you love about your skin today and shop 9to5 at 9to5skin.com. Again, you can find all of our products at 9to5skin.com, and our four piece bundle is $20 off. You heard me, whole $20 off. You can get the full four piece set.
So, first of all, the name common clouds. It's really this like metaphor for I think like clouds can be a metaphor for everything that is difficult in life, but also the passing nature of everything that is hard. Like nothing is forever. It's like very, fleeting. And we find like a lot of hope in that. I personally have always found a lot of like comfort in knowing that, everything will pass eventually. So the cloud is a metaphor for, clouds on your skin, clouds inside your mind and in life in general. And the common comes from, well, it being common. So you are not, you're not alone. But I think the whole inspiration behind the brand was, well, we are three co-founders. And both Kajsa and I, we have worked such a long time in the beauty industry. My background is as a journalist, a beauty editor.
Yeah, I
And
saw that. I want to like I
yeah.
have so many questions for you about that.
And Kajsa has been working more on, like for big global companies within marketing and so on. And we really saw that there's this like massive blank space around acne. It's like either you have a really like expensive salon product that you will have to go like to the clinic or to the skin salon and buy for them, or it's these really generic skincare products that you can pick up in the pharmacy. And those are, I mean, they can do their job, sure, but they don't spark any joy, when you open your bathroom cabinet. Like when I had adult acne myself, I was a beauty journalist at the time. I had access to, all the most glossy, amazing, cool products in the world, but I could only use more or less like pharmacy products. And when you open the bathroom cabinet and it just looks kind of bland and clinical, and also the messaging, like anti-imperfections, and this whole focus on fixing something.
Fixing. Yeah. I was just gonna say, I think that's, like buying the next thing. And I think there's so much pressure with acne is like reading these boxes and it being like clear skin overnight. And you're putting that expectation in your head. And I've also found that I sometimes feel like I have more fun doing skincare when my skin is more clear. Like I think with acne, it's also, we use skincare, but it's sometimes hard to use that skincare because it's like, sometimes discouraging. So finding products that you love to use and as you said, spark that joy, I think is so important when you're already struggling with your skin to start, right?
And just, to create this little, safe and soft universe where both the products and the product design and the messaging, it sort of, wraps you in this little calming cloud, and that, you should feel good about it. And for us, it was also so important to have this accessible price point, since so much of the products, at least here in Europe, it's proper expensive when you go and buy it in like the skin salons. And so there was like really this space, and it was like, but hang on, why can't there be like a brand focusing only on like this skin condition and everything that comes with it? Like, of course, you have the sensitivity, the redness, the post-blemish marks, and so on, but just, building a kind universe around that. So that's how it started. And the first product was the little cloud-shaped pimple patch, because it carries the whole symbolism of being this little calming cloud
Interesting.
on, and it will help your little skin cloud to drift away.
Wow, I love that. I didn't know that was the first product. What was the driver behind like going with pimple patches first as opposed to a different formula?
It just made such perfect sense because it could be a cloud. Like, we could make like a physical little cloud our first product, so it just made sense. And then like pimple patches had started to happen a bit more. Like obviously Korean skincare had like exploded in popularity and people were getting a little bit familiar with the concept of pimple patches. But I think at the time, more or less no European brands did pimple patches. So it was really, really tricky to, because we manufacture them in Korea and then we have to import them into Europe, which is so difficult from a regulatory point of view because they are classed as medical devices and there's
Right.
this whole messy framework. So we had a lot of work to do, but we just thought it made perfect sense to have these little clouds.
I've tried the cloud patches, and for anyone listening, like there's still a clear patch, which I love, but have this cute design, but they don't like look like when you apply them on the skin, you can't really tell too much that you're wearing. Sometimes, the fun shaped patches, are more obvious on the skin. These ones are very translucent, and I love because of the shape of them. They're so easy to apply, like in certain parts of the face, like around the nose or around the brow, because you can kind of twist around the cloud. I thought that was really cool.
Yes, I often get, the little ones just here,
Oh,
like on top here,
the worst
and
place.
but and you don't want that round little pimple patch flapping on your lip. So yeah, it's quite smart, the little cloud shape as well. And we worked so hard on getting it so thin and invisible. It was actually one of our co-founders. We are three, and Helena is a former art director, so
Oh, wow.
she worked really, really close to the team in Korea, and also actually with my sister-in-law who.
So you're running out of closet space, but the good news is you don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything. From photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, only for the month of January, you can earn up to $550 extra when you sell. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and earn up to $550 extra to keep shopping. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Is an architect, so she has all these, 3D programs on her computer. So because it was it was so techy getting like the corners so thin and
Right.
visible, but still holding shape and everything. So
No, I could imagine. So I'm curious, with three co-founders, how did you guys come together? How did you meet, and how did you come together to create this brand?
So Helena and I, we are actually like childhood best friends. So we have
Wow.
known each other since we were 11, I think. So we have been through the whole, the agony of being a teenager together, and of course, agony also over skin and breakouts happening at the worst possible timing and so on. And so she went on to be an art director, and I have always been a writer, so I had, yeah, so I was a journalist and I wrote a couple of books and so on. And we always said we should build something together, like make a proper brand. And after like 10 years or so in our careers, we were like, but now is maybe the time to just dream up something. You come to that point where you get a little bit sick of just, realizing someone else's vision, and
Right.
that's a completely different story. But I was sort of fed up on the beauty industry, and it wasn't driven anymore by like creative values or journalistic integrities. It was just, you're sort of a billboard for big brands. And at that time, I was meeting up with a former colleague of mine, Kajsa. We had been working 10 years prior when I was a copywriter for one of the big like global cosmetic companies she was working for, and we stayed in touch over the years. And I said something about like, yeah, like me and my friend, we have this little vague idea to do an acne brand and la la la. And Kaiser was like, oh my God, this sounds so like so interesting. I want to hear more. So the three of us, we had a coffee. During the pandemic, we're hardly allowed to go in cafes, but we found a little cafe. And yeah, and then the three of us were just like, let's do it. There's never a great time or ideal time
No.
to just, drop everything else and go into a startup mode. But I think we just, we felt we had something. So yeah, it's the three of us. So we're like
Wow.
three little work wives.
I love that. No, and I think what you said there around there's one no perfect time, and then also just
Oh.
the whole I think within every entrepreneur there's that fire of almost being fed up of like living out someone else's dream. And I think, to always think back if like someone else has built something, there's almost no reason why you can't build what you want too. And I think I always say too, like every dream is kind of placed in your heart for a reason, and to kind of follow that, even if it's hard. And I think it's obviously with brand ownership or entrepreneurship in general, there's ups and downs and everything. But I think at the end of the day, it's so fulfilling knowing that you at least tried, right?
It is. And I think also to do something where you feel that you actually have a purpose. I used to live in Japan, so
Oh,
like I have
wow.
yeah. So I'm like a very true believer in what the Japanese call the ikigai, that you wake up every morning with a purpose. And I think with Cobb & Clouds, like, yeah, because it's definitely being an entrepreneur, it's like this. Like you're constantly standing with like the fire hose and putting out fire. But we wake up every day and feel that we are working with something that can actually fill purpose and help people in their lives. And it sounds so trivial to many people when it's skincare, but anyone who has struggled with skin knows that it goes so beyond being skin deep. And the love we get from our community, and it just makes everything worthwhile. So yeah, so it makes it easier to go on the crazy crazy
Totally, totally.
road
And no,
trip.
you guys are like, as someone who's, struggled with acne and experienced the brand, it does go so much more beyond skincare. Totally. What is your personal journey with acne and skin?
Well, when I was like from a very young age, I have always had like very reactive skin, more like eczema prone and redness prone. I have both rosacea and acne in my family. My father has quite severe rosacea, and my mom used to have acne. So that was like my main concern, I think, growing up, like the redness and the eczema. So during my teen years, I had so many like flare-ups in my face. So for I think it was one year or one and a half year, the doctor said to me, like, you can't wear any makeup. This was such a long time ago. I mean, there was no such concept as acne prone makeup. The doctors were just like, no
Nothing,
makeup
yeah.
or nothing. And it made me so self-conscious. And yeah, so I think that was the first experience with, your skin actually affecting your life quality. But then, like with acne, I had such bad period cramps as a teenager. So my mom took me to her gynecologist, do you say it like that?
Gynecologist, yeah.
Yes. So I was put on the pill when I was 15, and so my skin was more or less clear. But then when I went off the pill, and I was an adult by then, I was over 30, like everything just erupted, like exploded. And so for about a year, because it took me almost a year, like before going to a proper skin doctor, you try everything, and you like all these crazy things, from applying coconut oil to your face to diets, and like you don't get down to the yeah. And yeah, it was like I was a beauty journalist at the time, and I had so much shame. Like you have so much shame as it is, but it was an extra layer that I was supposed to know skin, and I had like all these connections in the industry, but yet something was, I was the poster girl for something being off, and I felt so alone in the industry where everyone was looking in my mind like so perfect and clear skinned, which is now, I mean, I realize there's so many people that have struggled with this in this industry as well. I think many people end up in working with skin if they have a history of skin concerns themselves. But it really, like, yeah, so it was a lot of anxiety and, social isolation and everything. And then when I started I got prescribed medicine, and you get these topical creams that just worsens everything to start with. And I remember I was supposed to host like a party or something at home for my girlfriends. It's like my girlfriends, I know them well, but I was like, I cannot face them. Like I was so red, everything is just all over the place. Yeah.
I totally get it. I think it's such a common story. Like, I actually hear it more often than not with, the whole birth control experience. I had that happen to me too. I was on birth control from 18 to 20. And then when I got off of it, yeah, my skin, like, from go being like super clear on the pill, my skin like exploded afterwards. And it's hard to like have such a change happen in just like a few months. Like, you wake up every day and it's like more acne, more acne. And you're like, what can I do to stop this? But it's kind of out of your control at that point. And then it's overwhelming too, like trying all the different solutions. And I find even for me, like the struggle I've had, like going to dermatologists is a lot of times they do just look at like topical or, pills like Accutane or antibiotics. And that's not always the answer for everyone. So yeah, it's a tough journey. And I think, like you said too, being in the beauty industry and also being an adult adds to that, because I think even for myself, like, it's that pressure of, oh, you almost shouldn't have acne unless you're a teenager. And then especially if you're in beauty, how I am too, I'm review products every day, and people sometimes think, oh, just because I still struggle with my skin doesn't mean I know skincare. But I always say skincare is just like a supplement for your skin. It's not the full answer.
I know, and I think that's I think because that's something that we also have to balance all the time. Like we have to be r real and realistic what our skincare products can do. Like they cannot cure your acne. It can, calm down the symptoms, and but if you have, more severe acne, or if it's affecting your mental well-being, like you re or if it's, if you have it in your family, so it could cause scarring or so on, like you have to consult a medical professional. But it's quite hard, I think, in Sweden as well, because we have something called, like, when you go to the doctor, you have first like a GP, or you don't get you don't go straight to a specialized derm.
Same
Like you
here,
just and it can take ages to get that referral, and the first doctor, they are not trained in skin, and they will be, like you said, recommending a topical and then nothing more. Like that's what you go home with, like a tube of,
And like treating the symptom rather than the root, I think, is a big issue, because even, like, I see a dermatologist, I love my dermatologist, but I know my acne is hormonal based. So it's like, with that, they can't really help with that because they're specialized in skin, not like, the internal. So it's hard in that too, because I think acne is just so complex and there's not like one size fits all for everyone. Even though, like, that's sometimes how it can feel when you go to a skin doctor. They kind of, a lot of them can treat it like a one size fits all situation.
Yeah, definitely. And do you have in Canada, like doctors prescribing a pill called spironolactone, I think it's called. Like that is more or less unheard of here, which is sort of like, a shame when it comes to hormonal acne for women, like post-pill acne, which I think could be really helpful. It's like it's always that same topical that everyone is sent home with, and no recommendations on skincare or anything. It's just that. So people are very much left to their own destiny in a way, and they go online and they try, or on TikTok, and they try to find all these, all the information, and there's so much misinformation going around, and you end up drinking, I don't know, peppermint tea like a crazy person instead of seeking the help you should need. So it is tricky. And I know for myself, I felt super desperate. Like I would try anything. Like if I would read an article or, about someone trying, like, I don't know, like coconut oil on skin. I really tried that, which is horrendous. Like, how could I? I'm a trained journalist. I should be like a science first person. I'm like, okay, what do we know about this? Do we have studies on this? Still, you get to that desperate stage, and it took me quite many years. Like, the acne, it did come back a couple of years later, but not as severe. So it didn't require like medication. But when you panic so much, I had this little. I always took like mental notes. Like if I have less than 7 acne breakouts, I can still sh you know be chill. But more than that, like, oh,
You
hope it
panic,
doesn't start again.
and you think you're gonna get to that same place.
Yeah.
And even though you know, wait, why am I panicking? My skin has been at a worse spot than this. You still go through that cycle.
Yeah.
So I think with that being said, now that you own this, acne skincare line, how do you
Yeah.
kind of ensure that you're setting those realistic expectations for your customers? Because a lot of people do frantically buy skincare products, especially targeted at acne, hoping that it will, fix all their problems, completely clear their skin, scarring, all of that. How do you manage those expectations?
Well, I think, well, first we try to be very like open on our social media and on TikTok. Our TikTok manager, Dahlia, she has had acne herself, and she went on Accutane, and I think she was done like 6 months ago or so. And so she has also been speaking a lot on the channel about like how she was on medication and like the importance of being open with that skincare can't fix anything. And I'm on there. We have a skin therapist who works with us, Emma. Like, we're like, when is it time to go to a skin doctor? And if you are on medications, what kind of products are suitable for you from Kong Kao? Da da da. So just, keeping the dialogue alive, I think, and also on our actual website to have articles and blog posts and writing like on the product pages, like in the.
So you're running out of closet space, but the good news is you don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything. From photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, only for the month of January, you can earn up to $550 extra when you sell. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and earn up to $550 extra to keep shopping. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
FAQs and combine this with acne meds and da da da. So it's about trying to have this openness, and we always say that we are sort of like on two legs. We have the product leg, and we also have like the educational leg, like being this space where we also educate around acne and talk about like the many aspects of it, how it affects your mental well-being and like when to seek medical advice and so on. But of course, it's tricky because people, they always this one magic bullet.
No, and I commend you guys for keeping that conversation so open, because I think it would be so easy to post like an Accutane before and after, but frame it as like this serum, these are my results from this serum. And it's like, I've seen a lot of people do that. I've seen a lot of brands do that. And then it does create that unrealistic expectation where, having that conversation, like even with the skincare reviews I do today, I'm always like, by the way, I am on Araslo, like a topical prescription, right? So it's like, I can't commend everything to just one product, because you have to keep open what else you're doing in your life, because it is not just a one size fits all. You've talked a lot about your background in copywriting. How did you kind of get into that? Did you kind of know, let's say after high school and stuff, that that's kind of the route you wanted to take, or did it take some time for you?
No, I think I've always been writing. Like that's what I do. I've always been a writing person. So after high school, I studied journalism for 3 years in London, and so that was my trade. And the first part of my career was more like, would you say, like a lifestyle journalist, more not about a lot of like popular culture, fashion, like being this zeitgeist storyteller. And I remember going to journalism school, that I have always been very interested in beauty, but for me, as my younger self, it was mainly makeup because I had it so much as an expression. Like talking a little bit about the beauty standards we touched on at the beginning of the conversation. When I was a teenager, I never fit into the ideal. It was I couldn't even try to compete with the beauty ideal of the time. So for me, makeup and the expression and playing around with hair colors and colors and that was like a very big part of my life, but it never crossed my mind to work with it. But then, after having worked a couple of years, me and my now husband, we moved to Japan, to Tokyo, and I was this correspondent for all the magazines and like newspaper weekend supplements in Sweden, covering like, yeah, popular culture, lifestyle, fashion. But I started to see that, oh my God, there's something very interesting here about beauty culture and how the Japanese and Asians in general, how they like the relationship they have with skin and the holistic view, how everything is connected, and like what nutrition, skin, and it's just that beauty culture has the center space, and also like it was all the innovations. I mean, at the time in Sweden, it was, we had like the big brands, but it wasn't very exciting. And all of a sudden, you're dropped into this massive playground with like beauty tech and chemistry that just blows your mind. I got actually in contact with a book publisher, and they wanted me to do a book on like Tokyo Girl beauty, called Tokyo Girl's Beauty Bible. And through researching that book, I got in contact with so many companies, and they started asking, like, for example, Shuumura, the Japanese brand owned by L'Oreal. They asked, like, can you do English copywriting and so on. So that's when I moved more into also working with brands and concepts and like storytelling for brands as well. So since then, I have combined basically editorial storytelling and commercial storytelling for brands, and so being like on both sides of it. So yeah,
That's
that was
super
a very
cool.
long story, but writing about beauty and digging deep into it, and
Yeah, and kind of seeing the standards not across just like Europe, but also like I'm sure Japan, that was super cool to see those different standards. But then I think, did you kind of see, through all that, how I'm sure you did, maybe you can touch on this, like how these beauty standards and different emotions and trends and all of that kind of affect women on a more emotional level too, of comparison.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because the beauty standards in Japan and in Asia in general, they are like super narrow, and especially around skin and like the fixation on having, the fair skin, no blemishes on skin, like that skin was like a woman's main asset, basically. That was a quite new concept, I think. Like the amount of, like the position that skin had in a society. And it goes like, back to the whole like geisha culture and everything. So yeah, it's awakened so many new thoughts in me because we have never really talked about skin in that way
To such a
in
high like degree
no.
of worth. Yeah.
No, and but then I think the last 10 years or maybe even 15 years, it has changed in Europe too, that we're talking more and more about skin and there's more awareness and also, there's skin and brain and gut axis and like how everything is connected. But at that time, it was like no one would connect beauty or skincare with issues like mental health or
Yeah,
culture. And it
totally.
was,
It was seen as just like, and I think even today there's still some of that where acne is seen as like a hygiene issue, which like 99% of the time it has nothing to do with hygiene.
Nothing. It's crazy that that's still around. And we have had, still, when Dahlia, who I mentioned before, our TikTok manager, when she had her most severe acne, and she would be like on TikTok, but also in paid content like ads and stuff. You really have people, doing these nasty comments, and they were so often like middle-aged or older. They were like, no, this is nonsense. Like, who needs a cream? Just, drink more water or
Yeah, wash your face.
wash your face. It's like, this is like, what? Why are we doing this? It just adds to the whole stigma around it. Like, acne is, which I find so fascinating, that acne is the skin condition that is mostly linked to stigma. It's an inflammatory skin condition, but so is like rosacea and eczema can be it. You have psoriasis, you have these skin conditions, but acne is the one skin condition stirring up all these like emotions and the stigma. Like no one would say to someone with eczema, like you should drink some water and
Or
like,
just like moisturize. Like no one
no,
would say that.
no. It's like, why is acne so like charred, loaded with all these misconceptions?
I think it's just how it's been like perceived, and I think, as you've mentioned, like it is a bit of the older generation that puts that pressure, but I think it's honestly because they probably experienced the same thing. They were told that, and there was never a break in that cycle. They never had, anyone showing acne in a more positive light or showing like the emotional struggle of it. So then that's just like generationally passed down. But with that being said, like, I mean, you kind of touched on it with your social media pages and stuff, but what do you think is the hardest part about starting a skincare brand that is skin positive, doesn't retouch, doesn't filter, and shows skin at all stages? What struggles have you faced with that?
First of all, I think we have received like so much love and encouragement from our like community and people there. You can really tell that people had been longing for it and longing for the representation. But I think the challenges, like there's been some very like practical challenges from like something as simple as casting models. It was super difficult to start with because before we had a community of our own, like before the brand was even launched, we reached out to model agencies and so on. Like, do you have like we are shooting this campaign? And they were like, no, we don't have models with that skin. They would say that with that type of skin. It's like, okay. And then you have, of course, people finding it difficult to go without makeup and no retouch, like on an image. Like many, they want to do it for the good cause. But then at the end of the day, they are like, oh my God, do I look like that? I feel so ashamed. Like I don't want these images to go live. But now, 3.5 years after launching, I think we have built sort of a safe space, so people are more open to it. But that's I think that's a challenge, and but then it's also very tricky to develop the products, of course, because you have to get everything right. There needs to be 100% transparency from start with a manufacturer, and quite many manufacturers, they don't want to be 100% transparent from day one. You know, they don't want to release the full inky lists and so on. It's always like a lot of negotiating. Like for us, it's a deal breaker. If we're going to do products
Right.
together, we have to have full transparency, because we cannot find out, you know, after having approved something, that it contains something that is either clogging or irritating, or that we have too low levels of the actives. Like, there's that whole aspect as well, that you have to find a chemist that really understands the product and the skin and the needs and like everything. And so that's a challenge until this day. I have been sitting today with a product concept and almost like, oh. Like, you have to understand, we cannot, like, we don't want these marketing fluff
Right.
ingredients. Like, the products, they have to work, and we have to make sure that when they go into testing and like clinical testing or claims testing, that they deliver on these points.
Totally. So it's not just transparency on like skin and now we're touching, but on all aspects, which I think is really important. And it's shocking to say because you would think, you know, that's kind of the forefront of a lot of skincare brands, but the reality is it's not, and I think it's commendable that you guys hold that to one of your highest values. Common Clouds is also a fully female-led team, right?
100%.
Wow. So what do you think in that offers a different approach to running a beauty brand, let's say to a different brand out there?
Well, I think because we have had like this discussion so many times in our team, like both me and Kaisa, with our long like history in beauty, that it's an industry that is where, you know, the consumers are mostly female. Like, there's mostly women working in the industry. It's always women being close to the customers, whether she's, you know, working in a store or a makeup artist, or, you know, it's such a female industry. But the top dogs, they were always men. You know, all these French mega companies, you always have the men in the suits taking like critical decisions and making all the money. So yeah, so we are very proud that we are like a fully female owned and run company. But I think also, as women, we understand maybe the complexities of beauty standards as well, and how we, because we live in them all the time. Like, we say that if we are gonna do, you know, something a bit more public, or we have a super important meeting, it's we find ourselves not only getting stressed about, oh, how should we, you know, do the presentation, la la la. It's also like, oh, will I have time to do my nails, or how will my hair look? It's just so deeply rooted into us. We have to look a certain way to be respected. Like, only a couple of hours ago, me and Kaiser were saying, like, oh my God, we should go and like shop, you know, like more business clothing. But because people sort of, they will respect you more, which is insane. And then I look at like my husband, who's a tech guy, and he wakes up in the morning and just put on his cap and he goes to work, and that's that.
And the image is
I don't
not
know if
as
that
like,
answered anything,
yeah,
but
no, it did. And I think you're so right in that. And I think when you struggle with your skin too, that adds like a whole nother level where it's like acne or, you know, whatever skin condition is viewed as unprofessional. So then you're trying to, it
So you're running out of closet space, but the good news is you don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything. From photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, only for the month of January, you can earn up to $550 extra when you sell. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and earn up to $550 extra to keep shopping. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
This adds to that. So I think that's so interesting that you touch on that, because yeah, it's definitely, I think, something that's not thought about. Even as women, like, we forget that sometimes our brains work that way and that we're perceived differently. But I think that's super cool. And you guys are doing the thing. So I guess my last question would be, you know, to any entrepreneurs out there, what is your biggest piece of advice? And maybe with that, one of your biggest struggles that you face and how you overcome it on like a daily basis?
I think that like the first advice is, like I think we said before, but there's never such a thing as the perfect timing, and that you learn by doing. Like, don't wait until everything is perfect, because it will never be. And then I think it's so important to stay true to your vision. So you feel that, you know, what I said in the beginning a little bit, that you wake up in the morning and you feel that purpose, like that ikigai, that like, this is the mission we are doing. So try to stay in your lane, and not compare yourself to other brands. And I saw another brand founder saying something that was so true, like, you know, how the timelines are different. Right. She said in such a good wording, but like, this is Common Cloud 3.5 years old. We cannot compare ourselves to a brand that is 5 years ahead on the journey and la la la, because it just stresses you out. So, and I think my main advice is to try to not compare to other brands, because it will just, at least for me, it just gives me tons of anxiety. Yep. And so just like, what is the core? What is your mission? Come back to that. For like, for Common Clouds, we are here to make a difference in the like the acne segment, and do the best possible products that we can, and build a space that feels safe and kind, and, you know, where you want to be. Like, that's the core, not being something that we're not, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I think what you said there is so important, because even if there are other brands who, you know, have a similar mission or are doing a similar thing, like, there's still something different about you and what you're doing. And you as an individual, like, are going to bring something different to the world, and everyone is on a different timeline. But I think it's so easy. It's so easy to compare and think, like, especially as you're throughout the journey too, like, you are always looking for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And sometimes you have to take a step back and be like, wait, but where did I start? And where am I now? And
It's like overwhelming. You grow, like, the more the noise is always there.
Right. Yeah. And you think that, like, the more you grow and the more success, let's say, like, success you get, that you'll be more fulfilled, but really it just keeps, you know, it just keeps bringing it more.
Yeah. And everything becomes more complex and just bigger and bigger. And I think for us, it's also, it sounds like so woohoo, but sort of going a lot with your gut feeling. Today, it's so much about, you know, being data driven and la 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 la, and doing all these analysis of a market. And that's fine. But for us, I think it's more, you know, what is Common Clouds? What do we feel we want to do? What is right for Common Clouds? Like, the data doesn't tell the full, or algorithms, they don't tell the full story. Like, we could probably, I don't know, do TikToks that would go more viral with like hooks, but that's not who we are. Like, we have our tone of voice and our, you know.
Yeah, and I think sticking true to yourself, I think, is so important, especially in this world. So how do you, I guess, like, do you have any tips for people on coming back down to that level and, you know, sticking to your purpose? Because it's easy to say, like, don't compare yourself, but what do you do to kind of put that into practice? Because we all do it at the end of the day. It's just about managing it, right?
I know. And for me, the simplest way to stop scrolling. And I think for the first years, especially when we did Common Clouds, and we were like, because now we have grown, so it's going It's going well for Common Clouds, but when we were just a baby brand, I still had one foot left in the beauty industry. And I would see like all my former colleagues, like the influencers and journalists going to all the press lunches and getting all the cool, PR send outs and everything. And I would be like, oh God, like what have I done? We can never compete with this. So I think just stop scrolling. Like I will not. It will not do anything positive for my mood or for Common Clouds to see what other brands are doing, or this, because we could sometimes screenshot and send to the founders, sending like, oh my God, look, now they are doing campaigns with like 50 top influencers. But we like stopped doing that, and we tried to say that to the team as well, that we cannot panic and try to stop scrolling. And the same with, I think, us as persons, like we are the type of founders that we are. And
Yeah, I think that goes so much more, not just being an entrepreneur, even if you're just like a social media user. I always say like
yes,
cleansing your social media with people that
oh God,
inspire you. And sometimes like it's okay to, unfollow people or turn certain things off, because at the end of the day, like finding
yeah.
people that bring you joy or that you can relate with. Whereas if you're comparing yourself, even if you're, just scrolling on an influencer's page, if you're constantly comparing yourself, it's
Yeah.
not doing you any good, So I think
No.
more of us have to use our power to customize our social media and like
Yeah.
take our control back there. But I love that tip, because sometimes it is just taking yourself out of that and like bring your focus back
Oh,
to what
social
you're
media is
working on.
poison in so many ways. It's, and
I
I think,
agree. It can be
yeah.
so good. Like I think it's helped, even with like Acne Positivity, Skin Positivity, it's pushed that movement so
Yeah.
forward. But I also think like in a way, social media in a way is why we got there in the first place with like comparison. So like it's like a double-edged sword, It
Yeah,
can be so good,
it is.
but so bad at
I
the
know,
same
yeah, the
time.
community aspect of it is great, and how we can inspire each other and so on. But I think they did like this study quite recently where 9 out of 10 teenage girls feel more negative about themselves and the way they look because of social media. And I mean, that's a completely different discussion, but the role of both beauty brands and influencers, because it's so easy to say like, no, but if it triggers you, just change your
Turn it off.
algorithm. But it's not as easy because the content will still find you. And so it's really difficult. But I think sometimes you just go back to, I think this is something that you do so well too, like, be the change you want to see. And if everyone can, take small steps and contribute to, what we want to see ourselves, it would make the world such a better place instead of trying to feed social media or whatever it is with what we think people want to see and just throw more, what do you say, like gas on the fire.
I totally agree. Like, I think, you took the words right out of my mind. Like, be the change you want to see. I think for me, I always wanted to see, acneic skin, especially in like not only beauty, but I was kind of like you, very expressive with my makeup. And in high glam like that, you never saw like acneic skin or problematic skin. You never saw it. So I was like, I just started posting about it when I was young, because I didn't know when I was little how to like add filters on my YouTube videos or all that. So it kind of happened by accident. And then more people were like, wait, like it's so nice seeing skin that's not typically shown on social media. And I was like, I guess this is just like my skin. I don't know how to like, filter in a video or anything. And then slowly I realized like, wait, this is like not only something I struggle with, but so many people do, like, and just start posting more about it. But yeah, I think like sticking to, it's so easy to compare yourself, right? But like remembering your purpose, I think, you talking about that is so important, because it's going to be different than everyone else's
I
in the
think
long
so.
scheme of things.
I think we had like a really like a very culturally defining moment as well a couple of years ago. There was this Swedish Netflix series called Young Royals. It became super popular, I know, in South America and like all over the world, and it's portrayed teenagers on a boarding school, but as
Okay.
teenagers are like some had acne, others didn't, like, you know, but and it was uncommented. It they were just there.
Right.
And this was I think around the same time as acne positivity started being more present on social media as well. And like I think that also made such a huge difference, especially for young people to see, you know, normal young skin represented in a Netflix series for young people. It just makes
Totally.
sense. Like we are, and I think that's also like we are human beings. We are not avatars
Yeah.
or, you know,
Yeah.
it's.
And I think, like you said, not only that's so cool. I haven't seen that show, but not only that it was like shown like that, but also not commented on. 'Cause I think anytime you've seen like acne in a TV show growing up, it was always like the center of the episode or like, oh my gosh, we have to fix it. Oh my gosh, I can't go on this date or to the prom or whatever it is, you know, because I'm breaking out.
Definitely.
And just having it as like, you know, a normal part of life and
Oh yeah,
removing the
that's
words
the
from that.
narrative we grew up with, the, you know, the very miserable before and the
Yeah.
happy after.
And even
And
in like brands that we grew up with that target acne, you see these before and afters. And yes, like obviously everyone, I think for me too, like I'm obviously acne affects my mood mostly because of the pain and discomfort of it.
exactly.
But I think pushing that on people who are already struggling, being like, look, if you clear your skin, you're going to be so happy, which I always say, like, if you base your happiness on one aspect of your life, whether it's your appearance, your job, everything, like you think you're going to get happy if you get clear skin or lose 10 pounds or get the promotion, whatever. But then once you get there, you're just going to find a new thing to, you know, pick yourself apart on. And it's going to be so you have to find like that internal happiness. And I think sometimes these before and after show, like, as you said, the miserable person and then clear skin, like they're happy and successful and all these things, which is not
And add to
reality.
that the whole marketing language with the imperfections and the unclear skin and the impurities. I hate the word impurities. Like, stop. It's like, you know, you should always, it's like describing almost going to war against your own skin, like fight imperfection, do, 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 do. And
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Well, before we end this off, I have one last very important question for you, and that is, what is something that you love about your skin today?
about my skin today. I think that my skin, it feels really comfortable, or it doesn't really feel anything. Like there's no itchiness or tightness as I have had for so many years. I don't feel, you know, heat or flushes, pain from my acne. You know, it's just there and it feels very comfortable. And then for any like oily skin girlies out there, I can say that I am quite happy that I have like some oiliness because my skin is not as dry as other people my
There
age.
you go. They always
So
say that. They always say
it pays off later in
it
life,
does. They
oily
always say
skin.
people with acne tend to like look less aged as they grow because of the oil, like it like gives you that glow and everything. So it's all about turning, you know, your perspective and looking at it positively. But you're glowing. We love it, and I'm so happy you
But I
feel
think it's probably a lot of like 4 p.m.
that.
But yeah,
No, you look
so that's
great.
my little message.
I love
Embrace
it.
COVID
Exactly. And it's the best to feel comfortable in your skin at the end of the day. But Maria,
Yes.
thank you so much for coming on Loud Talk
Thank
with
you, Natalie.
Lavi.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor to be on your podcast and
It
love
was
everything
an
you do. And we
thank
are,
you.
everyone in the office are a little bit starstruck. They are homesick today, our girls, unfortunately. Otherwise, they would come here and say,
Oh
because
my
they
gosh. No,
do.
thank you. It's such an honor to have you on, and I'm so happy I got introduced to Common Clouds, and I'll be rooting for the brand and all of you guys. So, yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, that is
Great.
it for this episode. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. It was so amazing to have Maria on and just talk all about skin positivity with an amazing founder of an all-woman-led team, especially kind of getting a bit of an insight into Europe's beauty standard and a little bit about Japan too. That was an interesting add-on. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure to subscribe to the Loud Talk with Lavi YouTube channel where you can see all of the video versions of each episode. We post every single Monday morning at 7. 7 a.m. MST, where you can tune in every week either on YouTube for the video, audio on Spotify, Apple, and any streaming platform you prefer. You can also find episode recaps over on the Loud Talk with Lavi TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube Shorts page. Remember, tell yourself something you love about your skin today, and don't forget to break down those beauty standards one flaw at a time. I love you guys, and you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye, guys.
So you're running out of closet space, but the good news is you don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, only for the month of January, you can earn up to $550 extra when you sell. Make room for what feels like you. Go to therealreal.com to start selling and earn up to $550 extra to keep shopping. That's therealreal.com. Terms apply.